We have been learning about our identity, you know, who you are in Christ in this series, and about the blessing of God's work. What is work? We've talked about the idols of identity. We've talked about being confident of God's purpose and place that He's called us to. We've talked about our identity as children of God, His love for us. We've talked about the privilege of being able to serve in God's presence as His priest. We've talked about getting ready for the groom. We've talked about the intimacy of friendship with Jesus, that He calls us friend. And we've talked about our citizenship. Our allegiance isn't here on earth, but in heaven. Here's my question. How has your faith grown? Has it grown as we've talked about these things? How has your thinking changed? How are your decisions different now because of now who you recognize who you are in Christ? Maybe for the first time, or maybe in a bigger way. When you and I study the Word, it isn't just about information. You know, the Bible is not just a history book. The Bible isn't just some history about the way people used to worship God. It's about transformation. It's about being transformed in our minds, in our hearts. It's about learning new skills that we didn't used to do, i.e. maybe listening before you talk. It's about a new way of thinking, a new way of being strengthened. It's about realizing there's an old way that we're walking away from, an old way of thinking, that God's called us to a new way of thinking and looking at things, so that our minds and ears are hearing things that we haven't heard before. It's about evicting those thoughts that don't have the rent. They've been evicted. They are not allowed to live here. The rent is not paid. The house has been purchased by somebody else. They're out of here. Those attitudes and thoughts don't belong. Maybe the transformation you've learned is there's new weapons that you need to carry. What are they? How has your relationship with God changed? How has your relationship with other people changed? How has what you think about yourself changed? When you read the Bible and when you come to church, or when you pray, or when you have conversations about a message or what you're concerned about, are you listening to God's voice in the midst of that? Are you looking for information, or are you looking for transformation? If we are setting ourselves at the feet of Jesus, we will be transformed. We're saying, okay, Lord, what is going on here? Someone once said, do you want to know a prayer that God always will answer? Pray the prayer, God, is there anything that you want to change in my life? That's a prayer that God will always answer. Because praying for transformation, God, would you show me what you want to change? I think about... I'm kind of popping here, sorry. I think about people who don't like to go to doctors. We go, why? There's a fear, because they might find out something that's not right. And I think that's sometimes the case when we come to God. We're afraid that we might find out things that aren't right. To say, God, what do you want to change? Here's in a similar kind of way, is when you go to the doctor and you say, hey, check me out. Tell me if there's anything not right in here. When you find out good news, praise the Lord, and you go, hey, that wasn't so bad. Or you may find out something you don't. The doctor doesn't say, okay, you can't leave this hospital until we fix this. The doctor says, hey, here's some options here. You can choose to ignore this news, or you can choose to do something about it. Because we have a God of grace who will highlight stuff that's not right, but he's not going to make us do anything about it. He's going to ask us, say, if you want my help, this is not right, I'll help you change it. I'll empower you to see things that you can't see, to change your rotten thinking, to change your attitude, to trust me, to help you with your obedience to my voice, to be able to hear my voice. Those God doesn't force himself on us, but he is asking us to ask him, to invite him in to that challenge. God, would you show me what you want to change in my life? I was praying that. And I one of the exercises we had in a study that I'm doing with a group of people, the homework assignment for the month was choose to lose. And it wasn't about weight either. Choose to lose. What are you willing to give up? And it's so funny, the examples they gave, you know, and the kind of things is like, you know, what's a purchase that you've been not wanting to do that you can afford, but your spouse wants to? And Jackie's like, we've worked through all that stuff. You know, we've had those stories where we had to be wise or give up or submit to a budget or what the other person wants. And so I struggled. It's like, okay, Lord, would you show me what I need to lay myself aside for that I'm not seeing, that I need to lay my side and say, God, Jackie, you're more important than what I want. I'm going to love you. And I know you're going to think this is kind of corny, but when I do the laundry, I fold all the clothes and I leave Jackie's underclothing on the bed. There's that drawer that they go into is very scary to me. It has things in, you know, I appreciate it, but it's just an unknown territory. And I did the laundry, and I've been praying, God, would you show me how to put myself aside here? And God said, you need to put that away. I mean, God didn't like, it wasn't like an audible voice, put the underwear away. But it was, I'm praying, God, speak to me. I want to listen to you. And God said, I felt the Holy Spirit say, this is a very practical way that you can choose to lose. And honestly, I was just like, I realized that my unwillingness was really just out of stubbornness. It's like, I'm not sure what that is, and so here it is. You know, when she does the laundry, all my underwear, it gets folded nice. There's Scott's way, and then there's Jackie's way. And she puts it away, and I've never questioned it. I appreciate it, and I tell her thank you. I said, I'm sorry, and so I did that. I said, I'm, for whatever reason, there's something that's getting in the way of me loving my wife this way. And I said it was kind of corny, you know, kind of like not earth-shattering, but it was a change of heart that God was revealing to me. If you love your wife the way I love the church, you'll put yourself aside, Scott, that extra minute or two. And so I was so proud of myself, I opened the drawer up and I inspected what went in those drawers. You know, and Jackie and I, we organize our drawers a little bit different. Jackie, she's not in here, forgive me, Jackie, she has a little bit of this method, okay? And I have this method of, okay? And so I had to inspect. It's like, okay, what is the general proximity of what goes here? And I put those things in there. And so when she got home, I didn't wait for her to acknowledge me. I said, did you notice anything in the bedroom? She goes, yeah, you put my stuff away. I said, I did. I chose to lose. You know, and I said, I don't know why that was such a big deal to me. When we talk about being transformed by the Holy Spirit, it was like we were reading this morning in Matthew about what the kingdom of God is like. The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. Little tiny seed becomes something really big. my little seed of being willing to put Jackie's clothes away in the right drawer is a seed. Those things that we obey God in. And that's my challenge today as we talk for a few minutes and look at who we are in Christ. That you will find that seed as you're willing to say, God, what do you want to change in me? You'll find that seed that God says, put this in. Put this in, do this, and it will grow into something really big and meaningful. Turn with me. We're going to look at the word 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And we're going to begin reading it, verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. When we put our faith in Jesus, we put our faith in his love. His love compels us. I love this verse from Ephesians chapter 3. In fact, Stephen, can you stand up and show your shirt? I told him that this is Ephesians 3:17. I was like, that's the shirt. I'm going to say that verse this morning. 3:17. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's people to grasp how wide, how long, and how high, and how deep is the love of Christ, and to know the love that surpasses knowledge. What is the love that surpasses knowledge? The kind of love that surpasses knowledge is experiential love. It's love that we experience. That's the kind of love that when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, we're putting our faith in that kind of love, to understand God's transforming love. When we put our faith in Jesus Christ, we put our faith in his death, a satisfaction of payments. And I know this is the gospel, but do you know the gospel should never get old to us? Because as we allow that daily to just kind of walk through us, to soak us, to change us, is realizing that when Jesus, I'm putting my faith in his death, that he satisfied, that he accomplished all of what he intended. He accomplished our punishment. So we don't have to beat ourselves up. How many of you are like me and when you mess up, you beat yourself up? You're like, oh, you're such a knucklehead. Oh, I can't believe you said that. Oh, why did you do that? Guess what? Jesus died on the cross to cover all of that. And it may be something you've done. And because I have memories, it's like, man, why did I treat that person like that? I take myself, the enemy, my accuser, takes me back to college and said, wow, you are so clueless, Scott. Why did you do that? You knew better, but yet you walked in the flesh. God has covered all of that by his death. The death of my old self, I can leave that behind. My old way of doing things, my old way of thinking. What I was a slave to, I'm no longer a slave to. When we put our faith in Jesus Christ, we put our faith in his perfect life. The life he lived. He accomplished perfection. I'm a perfectionist. We have any perfectionists in the room? Anybody with the gift of OCD? It's not what accomplishes, what is it? Cleanliness is next to godliness. That's in the Bible, right? No. But we think that it's that if I can live my life perfectly enough, right enough, that I'll have accomplished somehow godliness. Well, no. Jesus is the one who accomplishes godliness because of the life he lived. Every choice, every thought, every response he had perfectly obeyed his Father in heaven. When we put our faith in Jesus Christ, we put our faith in his resurrection. God's power to raise dead things. Right? Ezekiel talks about dead bones. Dead bones. We're talking like the original Halloween story. It's like dead bones shaking and rattling. What is that? And then flesh coming on those bones, the image, the vision that God gave Ezekiel in the what he came to bring, life to dead things. When Jesus died, everything about his body, there was no more breath, no more heartbeat, no more brain waves. He was completely dead, without life. And God raised him from the dead, from nothing to something. Something amazing, something overwhelmingly good and true. Our faith in Jesus' resurrected life is our resurrection to new life. Galatians 2:20 begins, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. I think I've heard a statement is that it's like dead men walking. It's like I'm in this body that's sin-laden, but I've got a new, perfect life living in me that allows me to walk and live above what my body would otherwise do. When we live by faith, we no longer live for ourselves. What we can get for ourselves, for our security, for our proving that we are worthy. Why? Because it's already been done. It's what Jesus did and what he accomplished. We don't live as if Christ lives in us. WWJD. We live with Jesus living in us. We live because of Jesus living in us. Christ in me. Jesus. What do we do about this situation? Jesus, where do we go from here? Jesus, what are we going to do? Right? My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Somebody described it as oxen, and there's a lead oxen that's taking the burden, taking the lead role and pulling that. We're called to team up with Jesus. And yes, carry a burden, but he's leading. We get to be in step. Any of you guys dance? Okay, I don't, but can you tell? But I have danced, and my wife and I took line dancing. It was a gift of her to me. Thank you, Jackie. But there's nothing sweeter than being able to move and not step on everybody, each other's feet. To be in step with Jesus and to walk in step with his yoke is not to be zooming off to one side and dragging your feet. Just like some of us walk a dog. Have you ever walked a dog that didn't want it to be walked? It's like Fido is being dragged along the ground instead of with you as you walk. That's the kind of partnership that we get when we live by faith. We're living in an invisible truth. We are no longer slaves to our sinful selves. We live by the power of God's Spirit living in us. That's why walking in the Spirit is so important. Not walking according to our own thinking, but walking according to God's thinking. Let's continue reading. And you might recognize this verse from our last time together as we read from verse 16 and then on. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view, though we once regarded Christ in this way. We do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new. If anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God. Anybody say amen to that? Amen. there is an invisible truth. We're no longer walking according to this physical world. It's really kind of like an out-of-body experience, that we see things from a different perspective that allows us to live. And people talk about athletes. And I've only know about this from people who are athletes. But it's, you know, they work through their pain. They talk about there's a pain where you running and you're just killing. You want to quit. And have I got to that point? You know what I do? I quit. Well, I go a little bit longer because somebody once, I read too, that you're like, when you think you were going to quit, you're only like at 60% of your potential. And so my pride makes me go another 10%. But working through your pain, like when you think you can't do it anymore, to have an out-of-body experience, to walk in the Spirit, the old has gone. We have died to the power of sin because Christ raised us. We've been born again. That's why when Nicodemus came and talked to Jesus, what did Jesus say? You must be born again. He says, what are you talking about? He says, I'm not talking about a physical birth. I'm talking about a spiritual birth. You must be born of the Spirit. That's where life comes from. At that point, we become reconciled to God. When we put our faith in Jesus Christ, we're reconciled to God. It means those things that we were condemned for, we're now innocent of. Those things that we deserve punishment for, we've been forgiven for. Those things that we were really an enemy of God, we're now His friend. Talk about a turnaround, a complete 180, going the other direction. We were full of sin, and now we're righteous and holy. That is a great place to be, a great place where you're reconciled. Occasionally, Jackie and I have disagreements. Occasionally. And occasionally along with those disagreements is a feeling of, shall I just say, animosity. I say things like, you know, I still love you, but I really don't like you right now. And I know it's a two-way street because I can look into my wife's beautiful eyes and I can see and feel her animosity towards me sometimes. And if you're like me and like most guys, you don't like that when that happens. You don't like, you can just feel it. There, maybe the drawers get shut a little louder. Maybe the door gets shut a little louder. Maybe that cup of coffee that you make or they make for you isn't on the counter that day. Maybe when that kiss and hug goodbye doesn't happen, we say, there's something broken. There's something messed up about this. What do I have to do to make this right? I kid about, Jackie used to say, I'm sorry, to me. And I finally got a clue. I said, you're not saying I'm sorry like you're sorry that what happened. And I could identify with that. You know, I could say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry this happened. I'm sorry I got caught. I'm sorry you don't like this. I'm sorry you're such an idiot. But I'm not sorry that I hurt you. I'm not sorry that I dishonored you. I'm not sorry that I didn't care about you. I'm not sorry that I didn't love you. When we get that relationship, it's broken, right? And we're like, until we say that to our spouse, until a friend or situation comes up to acknowledge what is it that's broken, that situation can't be reconciled. But there's nothing sweeter than reconciliation. For me to say, hey, I know I hurt you. I see it now. I didn't see it then. And are talking, I'm recognizing that what I thought was unintentional, what I thought wasn't important, what I thought wasn't a big deal, guess what? It was a big deal. And I'm sorry I hurt you. Will you forgive me? That is the sweetest thing, that reconciliation that happens. We can understand in a relationship, a marriage relationship, or a close friend relationship. But that's what Jesus Christ bought for us between us and God. There's a brokenness. There's an animosity. And the reality, it's not from God to us, but from us to God and how we live. We're hostile towards anything he says. Just like the lady shared about walking down, the hatreds, the spitting even, the anger. You know, and I've read some articles this week just leading up, and some great articulate articles from the pro-life movement, and some, missing the point, in a sense, arguing, not even addressing the question on rights of women. That it has nothing to do with the rights of a woman. It has to do with loving, and there's a tension there. To acknowledge that, we got a difficult problem here. How do you have both? A right to do what I want means I don't care about somebody else. Think about that, the thing we've just been talking about. That if I exercise my right fully, I don't care about anybody else but who? But me. There's a tension there. For me to care about you means I've got to put my rights aside. I've got to love you. God loves us. God cares about us. When we receive our new relationship with God, we get a new identity, a new beginning, a new start. And because of what we've received, and now as believers, we're deployed. We're deployed as ambassadors. An ambassador is a diplomatic official of the highest rank to go to another place, another country, and give a message to represent the power that the representatives. Ambassadors of God, we are representatives of the kingdom of God. We represent God. We represent Christ. Wouldn't you say that's a little overwhelming, a little intimidating? You're like, I don't qualify for that. Holy, you know who Jesus was, by the way? Do you know the standard he set? I don't qualify for that. Well, the identity as ambassadors is, guess what? Who is it that qualified you? Jesus qualified you. And not only what qualifies as ambassadors is our experiential love. How Jesus Christ changed our life, that is the message that God called us to take to the world. We are his representatives. I've got some good, amazing news for you. God has established a peace treaty with you. You were an enemy. You didn't want anything to do with God. And God's sending a peace treaty to you. I know this is true because I've received it. I've walked in it. I've accepted his treaty. As Christ's ambassadors, we have a message. We have a message. We have a message of freedom from condemnation, right? Romans 8:1, there is no condemnation. There's now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. It's a message of forgiveness. Acts 13, 38 and 39, I want you to know that through Jesus, the forgiveness of sin is proclaimed to you. Through him, everyone who believes is set free from every sin. Forgiveness. You know, to be set free from those regrets, to be reconciled with God. It's a message of a fulfilled life. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full, an abundant life. It's a message of empowerment. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. A spirit-led, spirit-empowered life to be able to live his message, not perfectly, but be able to live and say, God, I know God's working. I wouldn't be doing this if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit speaking to my heart. Jackie knew it was God when I put her underwear away. It seems like a small thing, but that was the move of the Lord. As sad as it is in my life, that's an indication of God's moving. A message of complete acceptance. Being able to look God straight in the eye. Can you imagine that? That privilege, that Jesus covering, we can look God straight in the eye and say, God, you love me because of what your son and my faith in him. I am fully accepted by you. I am complete. I am loved by you. I know it sounds too good. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God. It's a message that we're reconciled to God. We implore you, as Paul tells us in that 2 Corinthians verse 20, we implore you, we beg you, be reconciled to God. You think about, if everything's been done, why is he telling us to do something? Because our response, Jesus has got it all covered. But we still have to respond. We still have to respond to the question, do you believe? Will you give your job, up your job as God of your life? Will you give up your own business? Will you be willing to come and work for the best boss that you could ever work for, with the best training and with the best retirement benefits? And the company keeps going. It doesn't shut down when the economy goes bad. How do you access this life? I love this quote. The password to the richness that Christ offers, the password is faith. Do you believe? Will you put your faith in Jesus Christ? Being ambassadors of Christ means sharing our story. It means sharing about what God's redeemed us from. It's taking that mustard seed of what God has done and sharing it. That's all. It's not arriving at some great doctrinal understanding or being able to write messages or be able to answer every question. As ambassadors, all we're called to do is just share how Jesus is working in our hearts. Say, this is a challenge I have, and God is challenging me. There's stuff I haven't seen before that God's helping me see. There's been an unwillingness that now I am willing. It's just sharing our story. It's just sharing just a little bit that God is working in us at whatever point that is. That Jesus is qualified you as an ambassador. Jesus has qualified you to bring a message to the world. Not your testimony, not your behavior, not your excellent presentation, but just who you are, how God's redeeming it. And what's so great is that story doesn't get done in 1 week. I can come back the next week and have chapter 38 or chapter 2 to share with somebody. Lord, will you show me what you want to change? Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for your gift of love that's accomplished it all. That's an amazing thing. God, we praise you. We worship you for that. Lord, just as we sang and we shared earlier this morning, Lord, we want to walk in that. Lord, to fully grasp all the aspects of who we are because of you, Jesus, who we are in Christ. Lord, that we get to be carriers of an amazing message. Lord, I pray this morning that every single one here would understand that message is for them. Lord, that every single one of us would recognize that we get to respond. Lord, I get to respond initially as I step into relationship with you now that reconciled, but I get to step in again when I say, God, would you help me see those areas of my life that need to change? God, would you show me some places that are dark that you want to bring your light to? Lord, and I don't have to be afraid. I don't have to be afraid of what you show me, because you'll walk with me. You'll walk beside me every step of the way, leading me in what how to navigate these difficult situations. Lord, in that process, Lord, I will bring the good news to my world, to my family, to my coworker, to my neighbor, to the person at the store, to my mechanic, to my contractor. Lord, we thank you. We thank you. Amen. I just pray this morning that if God's talking to your heart, that you'd make your way up front as we close. And just invite, we'll have some people up here ready to pray. Just acknowledge, and maybe if it's not, you're not, don't do that, that you can acknowledge it with your spouse or a friend or your family. What is God talking to you about? Amen? I hope to see you guys at our soup potluck with amazing creativity.